Let me read a few verses, please, from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to Titus. Maybe a book we don't often turn to. Titus, towards the end of the New Testament. Timothy, then Titus. The book of Titus. Just a few verses here and there in this wonderful little letter written by Paul to this young man called Titus, who had come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 1 says of chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What a wonderful statement, that God promised eternal life before the world even began. He had promised that. He promised salvation. He promised blessing to individuals even before the world began. But hath in due times, says verse 3, manifested his word through preaching, which is happening tonight in many other places, through preaching, which is committed unto me, says Paul, according to the commandment of God our Saviour. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace. Just listen to these words tonight. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. I just want to think about that little expression, Saviour, that we read about in Titus. It comes up quite a bit. We'll come on to some others as we move along. Now, we're going into chapter 3. Chapter 3. Shall I say chapter 2 first of all? The end of chapter 2. Verse 13. Chapter 2, please, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. There we have it again. Paul says he's our Saviour. We're looking for him. He's our Saviour. He's Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a people for himself, that's what it means really. There's nothing peculiar about them. They belong to Jesus Christ, they're a peculiar people. They're for God. He has saved them, he's called them, they're his people. They're a peculiar people, all for God, zealous of good works. Now into chapter 3 finally. Chapter 3. Look at verse 3, please, of chapter 3. Verse 3. Says Paul, for we, and he's including himself here, by the way, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what we were like at one time. But just think of this now. What a change in verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. I want you to think about that, Lord. The kindness and love of God our Saviour towards man appeared. Think about that. That's key to this little letter of Paul's. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, being made righteous, that's what it means, to be justified. It means to be made right, to be made righteous by the grace of God. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, That will do for our reading just now. Our Saviour, a number of times in those three chapters, we read about our Saviour, our Saviour. Yes, it was Paul's Saviour. Paul is writing, and he's talking about our Saviour, my Saviour. So Paul is really reflecting, he's looking back to an incident, a great event that most of us would know something about, that journey on the road to Damascus. Travelling down to Damascus, he was seeking after Christians. Yes, this religious man. He was seeking after Christians to put them into prison because of their faith in Christ Jesus. That was his business on the road to Damascus. But we do know how that a wonderful thing happened. A most wonderful thing happened. Probably the most wonderful thing that ever happened to Saul of Tarsus. God intervened. He came face to face with this person that we're reading about here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Came face to face with him. Heard his voice. Saul, Saul. Oh yes. And God stopped him on his track, so to speak. God stepped in and spoke to him, and they said, "What are you doing, Saul? What's your business?" God was interested in Saul of Tarsus. I think we heard from Leonard last Sunday night something about that, by the way. Why should we be interested in God, was the question of last week. And of course, we heard quite clearly last Sunday, we should be interested in God, because first of all, he is interested in us. Wonderful. Well, we've got that tonight. You, dear friends here, who've gathered with us. Suppose you forgot everything that was said tonight. God is interested in us as individuals. God doesn't overlook us. He doesn't forget about us. He cares for us. We're thinking about that earlier on as we met for prayer. He cares for us. Well, we think about briefly about his love tonight. The love of God our Saviour. So that's why we should be interested in God, because he, first of all, is interested in us. I hope you carry that away with you tonight, my dear friend. God has a love for you. God has a care for you. People say, there's nobody really cares for us these days. No, nobody cares for us. Everybody's so busy with their own things that they don't care. There's a measure of truth in it, isn't there? We're all just busying around with life and so taken up with our own interests that we don't have time to turn aside and think about others and care for them. But we're thinking about God's care tonight. He cares for you tonight. And of course, Saul of Tarsus had that wonderful experience of coming face to face with Jesus Christ. And his whole life was changed. Yes, from the inside out. We tend not to talk that way sometimes. God does work from the inside out, by the way. Yes, from the inside, from the heart. That's right, from the mind. From the very heart of the being, of a person's being. And God works from the heart out. Changes the heart. Forgives our sins. Cleanses us from that awful thing called sin. Makes us a child of his own, brings us into relationship with himself. And of course, that's what happened in that great day. Saul of Tarsus was brought into relationship with this wonderful person who died upon the cross, who rose again from the dead. And of course, he was speaking from heaven to Saul of Tarsus. He was now raised high and exalted in heaven. And he was now speaking to an individual on earth. I think that's wonderful. You don't think that's wonderful? That the very God of heaven, the creator of the universe, should speak to individuals just going about their business, whatever it is, down here. That should make us think, shouldn't it? The love of God. Anyway, There it is, and he talks about God our Saviour. Just let me think of chapter 3. That's really my main part. Just a few verses in chapter 3 here, where he speaks about the love of God, our Saviour. How wonderful. Says Paul, looking back over his life, yes, there was a time when we were foolish. We did foolish things. We acted foolishly. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You wonder if Paul had thought that, or Saul of Tarsus. But anyway, he did acknowledge that looking back over his life, he had done foolish things. He had done things that were not acceptable to God. He says we're foolish, we're disobedient. We remember what the Bible says, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. This is where it all began. This is where the fall of man came in. Sin entered into the world. That's a horrendous statement, my friend. I've thought that over the years of my life. I think it's one of the most sad and solemn statements of the Bible. There was a time, these years ago, when sin entered into the world. Sin entered into Eden's garden, that beautiful place. Sin entered through Satan. And that changed everything. That changed everything. Sin entered. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, the Lord Jesus, many shall be made righteous. The disobedience of Adam, the obedience of Christ Jesus. The two main characters in the Bible, you might say, Adam and Christ Jesus. One brought in sin. Christ Jesus brought in righteousness and peace and blessing and salvation. What a contrast between these two, so to speak, heads, the two heads. But listen to this. As Paul goes on, he says, that was true. We were foolish. Yes, we were disobedient. We were deceived. Oh, yes. We were deceived. But, he says, I want to tell you something else. I want to tell you something wonderful. I've talked about myself and I've talked about other sinners. But I want to go away from that and talk about the Lord Jesus, the Saviour. Isn't that wonderful? So it's almost like changing the subject. What a change of subject here. But after that, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared. That is a wonderful change of subject, isn't it? Directing us to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus and to his great love for folks just that are described in the previous verse. People who are foolish, disobedient, deceived, living for themselves, living without Christ Jesus, then says the apostle, but, wonderful. And it's like that other but in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together. That means he's made us alive in Christ Jesus. What he was saying in effect was, we now have life in Christ Jesus. We were once dead in sins. We are now alive in Christ Jesus. How wonderful. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. My friends, we love to focus much on the love of God. We focus indeed everything upon the love of God. The whole of our message is about the love of God, really. Oh yes, it speaks about the judgment of God, the eternal judgment of God. But we focus on the love of God to sinners, the compassion of Christ Jesus to those who are lost in sin. Here we have it here. But after the love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, then he went on to say something wonderful too. God's love has been demonstrated to us. That's what Romans chapter 5 says. But God, here's another but by the way, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Christ died for us. God has put his love on display for us to see it. He's demonstrated it. Where did he do that? I think everybody knows, surely. That love was demonstrated principally at the cross. Oh yes, his life was a life of love. From the beginning of his life, he was always showing forth his love. But at the cross in particular, he demonstrated, he displayed his great love for sinners. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We need to be aware of that. We need to know that and understand it. It's not by our works of righteousness. We're not brought into the blessings of God and into the family of God by our works of righteousness, the things that we do, the good that we do. And we're not condemning anything at all. But that won't bring us into the family of God. That won't bring us God's peace and forgiveness and salvation. How clear is this? Not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's really nothing in a sense of which we've done. It's really all what he's done, isn't it? That's the difference altogether. Therein lies the truth of the gospel. It's what Jesus Christ has done, not what we can do. And it's what he did up on the cross. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Wonderful thing. According to his mercy. And we make much of that tonight. And of course the man that went to the temple, he says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. That was the prayer of a needy soul. The prayer of a concerned soul. He was crying out for the very mercy of God. I need the mercy of God. And he cried out for it. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And that's our message tonight. Sinners need mercy. They need mercy. And mercy is available. Isn't that wonderful? God be merciful to me, the sinner. God looked upon him. That man was blessed. And it says he went home to his house, well, different from what he was when he went into the temple, a different person altogether. He had received the salvation of God and the mercy of God. And so it's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How wonderful. And of course, you can have that experience tonight. Most in the hall have known the mercy of God. Most in this hall tonight, thankfully, we have claimed the very mercy of God. We've cried for his mercy. We felt we needed it as sinners. We felt there was no other way. And we have recognized and understood that the Lord Jesus is the one that we turn to. We turn to him for salvation. We turn to him for mercy. We believe that when he died upon the cross, he was dying really for us. He was dying for you, my friend. Dying in your place. It's one thing to think about God loved the world and he's made provision at the cross for all mankind. But we don't come into the real benefit of it until we take this personally for ourselves. Jesus died for me. That's wonderful. Yes. And most in this hall have looked back to a time, yes, when that was true. And they just bowed before God and says, yes, I take Jesus Christ as my Saviour. He died for me. We sometimes sing about it, don't we? He died for me, my Lord and King. How wonderful. There's one who was willing to die in our stead that souls so unworthy might live. And the apostle spoke about the love of God, our Saviour, but he also spoke about the glorious appearing of our God and Saviour, our Lord Jesus, his glorious appearing. And so, let me just remind you before I sit down that this glorious Saviour of ours, who has saved us from our sins and who's with us in our lives day by day, we know his company, we know his friendship day by day, and this glorious person is about to return. How wonderful that is. But it's something to think about. He's a returning Saviour. He's a coming Saviour. We'll think about that in our little gathering we had here this morning. the great thought of the coming again, the return of the Lord from heaven. The apostle says, we look for him. We look for the Saviour. Are you looking for him tonight? This wonderful person. We look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who will change. Oh yes, he's changed our lives. He's changed our lives from brought in light instead of darkness. And so many changes. We're enjoying a wonderful relationship with the Saviour. But that's only the beginning. There is much more. There is much more than that. We're going to see him face to face, as we sometimes sing, face to face with Christ, my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? And so, we're looking for that day when we'll stand before him, be in his very presence, and enjoy him. The love of God, says Titus chapter 3, the love of God, and we'll think about that, the love of God our Saviour, it has appeared to man. It has appeared to man. How wonderful. God so loved the world. And I sit down. He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God bless.